I think that's working. In our second lesson today that Andrew read for us, it's from the Sermon on the Mount, and there's a line in there that I want to start with. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It is in our second lesson that we are confronted with a choice. Will we choose God or will we choose mammon? We cannot serve two masters. It must be one or the other. In this passage, our Lord tells us not to worry. He tells us specifically not to worry about three things that tend to be rather important in our lives. He said, don't worry about food, don't worry about your clothing, and do not worry about tomorrow. This is difficult to do. In life, we need to think about these things and use the information that we gather to make plans. We have to make decisions to move forward in life. But thinking about them is one thing, and worrying about them is something completely different. The difference, I think, is the context in which we make those plans and the decisions that come out of them. I believe that anxiety grows out of being drawn in two directions at once. A psychiatrist once told me that depression is created by worry about the past, while anxiety is spawned from worry about the future. We get anxious when we're undecided about which direction to take, which choice to make, or which objective to pursue. Where should we invest our time? Where should we invest our money or our energy? Whose friendships should we cultivate, and whose company should we avoid? How should we react when people are cruel to us, or when people ignore us or betray us? We are confronted every day by a host of such decisions, and we agonize over them until we make a fundamental decision, a decision that involves the overall direction of our life and whether we commit to serving God or serving mammon. Again, Jesus states, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Make this decision in your life. Commit yourself to the service of God and the pursuit of his values and purposes for the world. Once you have done this, the little decisions in life will follow. Once you have decided to let God be in charge, a great deal of worry will go away. Because God has endowed us, all of us, with free will, you do have an alternative to this. You have an alternative to God. Instead of committing yourself to God's will and purpose, you can choose to devote your life to the pursuit of worldly goods and unhealthy values. Either way, you will still deal with daily decisions about food, clothing, and associations. Either way, you will need to think about tomorrow and what tomorrow might bring. Since the master you choose to serve becomes responsible for your welfare, the question resolves itself to a matter of trust. In whom or what do you place your trust? Do you choose to entrust your welfare to God or to the wealth and possessions of this world? What is the choice? It is ironic that the words, in God we trust, appear on our currency. It almost seems like our founding fathers intended to warn us that we needed to be careful and trust in more than just the money that we have. So many people hold the ownership of money and possessions to be the most important thing in their life, and it's the focus of all their goals and their ambitions. God is always faithful and will not ebb and flow like the money in your bank account. God will not back out of a deal at the last minute and leave you hanging. God will always deliver on his promises, and he takes care of those who put their trust in him. The same cannot be said of our money and our possessions. It is important to understand in this conversation that mammon is not evil. Mammon is not a person or a living thing. Mammon is simply an Aramaic word that means riches or wealth. Mammon is a gift from Almighty God, and as such, it has a proper place in the order of things and should be used, like all of God's gifts, in accordance with his will and his intentions. Mammon can be used and should be used to build relationships that endure in this world and in the world to come. Jesus said it in Luke 16:9, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, those friends that you have made with your wealth, may receive you into the eternal habitations. By calling mammon unrighteous, Jesus does not mean that it's evil. He means that it's simply not righteous. of itself, money and wealth have no morality. The evil comes when they are not used properly or when relationships are sacrificed in order to obtain or to keep that wealth. Or when that wealth becomes more important than God. The definition of idolatry is to put God, to put what God has created in the place of God himself. It is the most commonly mentioned sin and the most severely condemned sin in the Bible. The first of the Ten Commandments is, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." St. Paul talks about the foolishness of men who worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. And since God is the creator of all material things, whoever chooses to serve mammon rather than God is a fool and an idolater. "No man can serve two masters," said Jesus. We have to make a choice, as you cannot serve mammon and God at the same time. One of them has to give way to the other, and whichever one you choose will determine the context in which you will make all the other decisions in your life. Big or small, all of them. You will feel anxiety until you make the fundamental decision about how to invest your life. Until you make that critical decision to choose between God and mammon, you will always be torn in two directions. You will be like someone trying to ride two horses at once or to chase two chickens running around in different directions. You will struggle with each decision you make and where to spend your money, where to invest your time and energy, and what friendships you wish to cultivate. You will struggle with whose company to keep and how to react when people ignore you, when they insult you, or they betray you. You will struggle with anxiety and how to respond to all the demands and requests you have for your time, your energy, and your resources. All of these decisions are made in the context of one great big decision that gives them their ultimate meaning. "Not by my will, but let your will be done." This is a prayer I use a great deal of the time. In order to make that prayer, you have to trust in God, because your will may not be his will. Learn to trust God, and all the little decisions will be much easier. In Daniel 6:23, we are reminded of his trust and this trust in God. "Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." Ask yourself today, who or what stands in the place of God in your life? A creature, money, or do you trust in the Creator? In whom do you put your trust? You cannot serve God and mammon. Open your wallet or purse and read what is written on your money. In God we trust. So do not worry, saying, "What shall we drink, or what shall we eat? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.